Once upon a time, there was a candy maker who received some really good news. And so he decided, this is such great news, I'm going to share my candy with as many people as possible. And so he grabbed this massive, giant bag of hard candy, went to the nearest playground with kids that he could find. He started handing that to all the children. Now, some of the children, though, they didn't like the flavor they received, so they threw the candy down and they left. Some of the children were super excited about the candy, but they got a little over-anxious and forgot that when you have hard candy, you're not supposed to just bite right into it. And so they hurt their teeth, and so then they spit it out, and then they left. Some of the kids, they liked it. They knew you shouldn't bite right into hard candy, but they were a little bit too obedient, and they realized it would spoil their dinner, so they just dropped the candy on the ground and then left. Some of the kids, though, decided this is awesome. They ate the candy, they enjoyed the candy, and they went and told all their friends about the candy and brought more people to come and enjoy the candy. That story is extremely serious, but that's all I'm going to tell you about it. And it has impact for your life and soul, and it is about the kingdom of heaven. The end. How would you like it if that's what I did for the sermon and then just sat down and said, Austin would love it. Austin would love it. But some people might be thinking, what just happened, right? Did you? About the kingdom of God, not about candy? Okay. Because that's what Jesus does in Matthew 13. In Matthew chapter 13, which is where we'll be today, Jesus gets up, tells a story, and then says, he who has ears, let him hear. And that's the end of it. He who has ears, let him hear means, if you didn't catch this, you're dumb. That's what it means, right? And so he gets up, tells a story, and the story I made about the candy maker, I made parallel that story as much as I could. And so I just, totally different context, but pretty similar lines of story, and Jesus sat down and left. That's all he did. How would you like it if Jesus did that? Or how would you like it if a preacher got up and just started just telling a series of stories without connecting them together whatsoever, but along the way making sure to remind you, this is about heaven, so you better listen up. And then just telling you another story that's only a few sentences long before moving on to another one. That's what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 13. We're in a sermon series called Teaching the Crowds. It's looking at the times in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus teaches the crowds. So we're in Matthew chapter 13 now because this is the next section where Jesus teaches the crowds. But Matthew 13 is strange because while Jesus is talking to the crowds, you could argue he doesn't actually teach the crowds because he goes out of his way not to teach the crowds. He just goes into storytelling mode and just tells rapid-fire stories here. We see in Matthew 13, Jesus changes his strategy, never starts explaining his stories. He gave a couple stories earlier in the gospel, but he would explain them to people. But now we see in Matthew 13, there's actually a section where the disciples have to pull Jesus aside and say, we don't get it. What's going on? And so he explains the story to them, but says, I'm not explaining it to everyone else. And that's what Jesus does here in this chapter. Here. I'm only going to read one parable out of Matthew 13 today. We're going to read the rest of the parables out of Matthew 13 next week. But this one parable that Matthew includes, Jesus goes ahead and explains, not to the crowds, though, to his disciples. And so I'm going to go ahead and read that parable of Matthew 13. It starts in verse 3, but the context starts in verse 1 for Matthew 13. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell in good soil and produced grain. Some are hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And that's all he says about that story to the crowds. He never explains it to them. Now we fully get every single part of it, right? Now we might actually get some parts of it just because who knows the meaning of the parable because they've been raised in church and have read the Bible before, right? But can you imagine if you've not been raised in the church, how that would come across? Especially when Jesus ends it with, yo, listen up, because if you didn't, you're in trouble. Like, that's how Jesus ends the parable here. And so it's an odd one here. If you read the whole chapter, actually, it seems like Jesus immediately goes in telling different stories. And so you get an aside part here in the next verses that we'll read in a few minutes. But if you go on, it feels like that's later. And Jesus just starts just boom, 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 more stories here. I am genuinely curious if people got upset with Jesus for this. And they probably did, because they got upset with everything else he did, right? And so people probably got upset with him there. It's not what you expect from a teacher, especially not if you've traveled a long way to see him. Because a lot of people did. There's a crowd big enough that he has no place to teach them decently, and so he has to get in a boat to use the shoreline as a makeshift amphitheater. Like, that's how many people have gathered around him. And so people might have been kind of angry. And so our passage, I think, today has two questions for us. Number one, why did Jesus stop teaching and switch to storytelling? And number two, what does the story mean? Thankfully, both of them are answered pretty easily here in the text, because those two questions are directly asked by there. But first, why did Jesus stop teaching and switch to storytelling? Second, what does the story mean? So to answer the first question, it makes sense to just keep reading, so we'll do that. Verses 10 through 17. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not hear, and seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it.'" And so Jesus answers the question of why he switched to parables, and he says, "Because I want them to be confused." That's a really great teacher, right? Like, what if you're in front of a crowd and they ask you to explain something that you're an expert on? You say, "Okay, let me explain it this way," and you purposefully try not to explain it, and then you sit down. That's what Jesus does here. So not exactly teaching 101 kind of material, right? So depending on what you're wanting to do, this could be a pretty bad example of that here. If you want to be a well-understood kind of person, Jesus doesn't want people to understand the points he's making. That sounds really harsh, right? Like, that's not Sunday school, happy-go-lucky Jesus with the sheep around his shoulders that we think about Jesus. Like, because usually you think of Jesus as wanting everyone to understand him perfectly, and if only they would just be explained better, then everything would all be great and hunky-dory, and we can all just, you know, like, have our cake and eat it too, and everything's just great, and pie in the sky and all those things. Like, that's what we think Jesus is supposed to do sometimes. But here Jesus is saying, "No, I purposefully went out of my way to make it hard to understand me," which is weird to think about Jesus doing that. Why did he do that? The answer is right there, and it's because people have already chosen not to understand him. And so Jesus doesn't want to just keep bashing his head against the wall, because that's the definition of crazy, and Jesus isn't crazy. And so he decides, "I'm not going to go out of my way to make people who don't want to understand, understand." See, God loves us so much that he will often leave us to our own choices, even if our choices are just stupid. And that's the case with this, is that Jesus left those people to their own choices already to not understand him here. He doesn't decide this out of nowhere. Remember the very first phrase? You can go back and look at it. I don't have it again on the slides. But the very first phrase was, "On that same day." On what same day? On the same day as the preceding material, which is all of Matthew chapter 12. Apparently takes place in one day, it seems like. It could have been multiple days, but it feels like when you read it, all on the same day. And what all happens in Matthew chapter 12? Well, a bunch of things, and everyone seems to hate Jesus. That's what happens in Matthew chapter 12. If you read through it here, in Matthew chapter 12, political and religious leaders, they set up a trap to see if Jesus will break the Sabbath laws. And he heals someone on the Sabbath. And so then Jesus heals a demon-possessed man in front of the political and religious leaders. And instead of saying, "Oh, that's awesome that you cast out a demon from this person," they say, "Oh, it's only because you're in league with demons you can cast out demons." And then it goes on from there. Then immediately after that, the same religious leaders, they say, "Show us a miracle and we'll believe you." If you read the three previous paragraphs, Jesus just did two miracles in front of them. And so Jesus just says no. Because if you had been paying attention 5 minutes ago, you would have seen two miracles. He heals a man, he casts out a demon, and they say, show us a miracle. That's what happens there. And if that wasn't enough, the last paragraph of Matthew chapter 12 is Jesus' family shows up at the door and says, Jesus, quit teaching. We need to take you home to a padded room now. That's what happens in Matthew chapter 12. The religious leaders, the political leaders, Jesus' own family members all say, Jesus, it's time to go home now. You're crazy. Or you're in league with demons, whichever one you think's better to swallow, right? That's what happens in Matthew chapter 12. And so on that same day, Jesus decides, I'm going to start teaching in parables and not explaining it. If they think I'm crazy for teaching the direct truth about the kingdom, I'll just tell them nice stories so they can smile and nod their heads, and those who actually want to understand the kingdom will get it. But if they don't, they're not going to. It's going to be even harder for them. That's what happens in Matthew chapter 13. And in fact, when explaining this to the disciples, we learn that this is a very old, ancient strategy of God's that he's used for a very long time, because Isaiah the prophet was even told to do this exact same thing. Not necessarily telling parables, but explain things that people just aren't going to get. In Isaiah, some of you might remember, if you read any two passages about Isaiah, it's probably going to be one of the Christmas passages, or it's going to be the call of Isaiah where he says, here I am, send me. As if some of you heard that passage where Isaiah gets called up to the throne room of God. There's seraphim, which means burning ones. That's really cool. The fiery creatures. And they're there. He's in the throne room and realizes, oh, I'm in front of God's presence. I'm going to die. And God says, nope, you're okay for right now. I need a messenger. Who's going to go? And Isaiah says, I guess I will. Send me. And then the very next verse, though, is exactly what Jesus quoted. Of the, okay, you can go, but you're going to go tell people things that they're not going to listen to. They'll see things and they're not going to see it. They'll hear things and they're not going to see it. And they're going to be shown things they just won't understand. That's your message, Isaiah. Have fun. Like, wouldn't that be great to just be told as a prophet? No one's going to ever believe you. That would be kind of hard to hear, right? And that's what Isaiah does. And then Jesus says, I'm fulfilling that even more so right now. In this time and age when Jesus is there. Here. And so Jesus goes and does the same things that the prophets of old done. He fulfills them more perfectly, but he's doing the same things the prophets of old have done. And so these verses do seem to say that Jesus is purposefully going out of his way to hide the meaning of what he's saying. And that's okay. It really does seem like God is saying, I'm okay with using my will and my plan to harden people's hearts. But make sure that you catch that it's because they already chose to start hardening their own hearts in the first place. God's not a jerk. He's just making it easier for everyone here. And so they chose not to listen. And so why does Jesus stop teaching and switch to just the storytelling parable time? And it's to let those who want to plug their ears from Jesus do so more easily. That's what happens here. But then our second question, so that's our first question, is why does Jesus switch to storytelling mode? And it's because Jesus is not the definition of crazy. He switches tactics when people quit listening. And so he'll start telling a different type of story. Their second question, though, was, what's the meaning of this story? And many of us know the meaning of this story. It's actually not a hard one, especially when we get the meaning here directly from the mouth of Jesus. In verse 18, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So this parable should not be that hard to understand, because we are in the privileged position of Jesus literally saying, here's the meaning of the parable. It is, the sower spreading a seed is just communication of God's word. It's the gospel being spread. It's evangelism. It's preaching. It's telling your neighbor about Jesus. It's sharing the reason why you're a Christian. It's telling people about why you choose to not sleep in on Sunday mornings and come and share communion with other Christians. And we learn there are multiple ways that the people hear these words. Jesus gives us four ways here. Some people don't have any loose soil. Their hearts are hard to God's kingdom. They're unwilling to give up their anti-faith presuppositions or biases. And so the words about God just don't seek in, and just about anything washes away the word. Like, it's like when you see just dirt on pavement and you spray it with a hose. It goes away pretty quick. That's what Jesus is saying happens with some people. Other people have some loose soil in their hearts, but it's not very deep, and so the roots don't go down very deep. They don't ever find a source of water. And so while they might hear the word of God and believe, they don't ever really get connected to God himself. There's excitement, but it's not grounded in God himself, in his words, or in a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't actually reach the source. And so when trouble comes, a shallow faith just does not sustain. And so those people fall away. Some people hear the word, they develop some kind of a faith, but their faith never stands alone. It's intertwined, and the weeds, the thorns are wound in with it. So I think that's probably some idolatry is going on there. Idolatry is wound in, and so there's idolatry of maybe comfort or money or anything that you could just say is a modern day idol. And so when the hard times of life come, weeds are a whole lot better growing in soil without you having to try to do anything, right? It's really annoying. But weeds just are there. You don't have to cultivate them. They just appear. And so the weeds grow, and these people opt to rest on the weeds of life instead of genuine faith, and their faith is choked. But then thankfully, there are some people who have good soil in their hearts. And then when they hear the words of God's kingdom, it takes root, it germinates, it goes down deep, it gets good roots, and they are changed people because of it. They produce fruit, either the fruit of the Spirit or fruit of more disciples or the fruit of other believers, things like that. And so that's the meaning of the story. And so Jesus goes out and says to people whose hearts are hard, you know, I'm going to scatter some seed and some people just won't hear it. Like, he directly is talking about the people that he changed his tactic for, and they don't catch it. Like, that's what happened here in this. One interesting tidbit we learned from this parable is that evangelism doesn't have very good odds. Have you ever thought about it that way? What odds does Jesus give for evangelism being successful? 1 in 4, 25% chance of it being of it working. And 50% chance of you thinking it worked when it didn't. That's great, right? And so that's the odds Jesus gives for evangelism here. Sometimes we are afraid to share our faith because we think people aren't going to listen to us. And guess what Jesus does in this parable? He says, do it anyway, because chances are they aren't going to listen. What did Jesus do when he was worried people weren't listening to his message? He changed strategies a little bit, but he still doubled down on talking about the kingdom of God. He didn't stop talking about the kingdom of God. And then he gave us this nice story that says, you're probably only going to be successful a quarter of the time. Like, that's God's odds. Do you think you can do better than God? So don't get upset if you share the gospel and it doesn't work here. Also, unless you're sharing the gospel with four people at once, like four people in your life, if you've got four connections with non-Christians in your life and you're trying to share the gospel with them, you just may never actually get to share the gospel for real with someone where they accept and listen. And you know what? One of the greatest joys in life is sharing the gospel with someone and seeing it connect and work. That's like the coolest thing you can do on this earth, I think. It really is. It's sharing the gospel with someone and it being successful and them developing a relationship with Jesus. You want that joy in your life. If you've never experienced it, try it for real. Try it with just one person. But if you want to follow Jesus' odds, you should try with four people before you go out of your way. And after you do it four times, it's probably a lot more comfortable to start doing it more often. But share the gospel with people. But we can't answer that second question of what does this parable mean? What does it mean for us? No, share God's word often. That's what this parable teaches us to do. Because there's no way for us to know the soil of someone's heart. Jesus knew the soil of people's hearts because he's Jesus. You don't know the soil of people's hearts though. So what's your job in this parable is to just spread the word and tell people about Jesus here. So when's the last time you shared the gospel? When is the last time you told someone why it's cool to eat a little tiny piece of bread and drink a little cup of juice? That might get weird in the first encounter, but when's the last time you talked about at least the meaning behind communion, that Jesus died for you? God came and dwelt with humanity because he loves us. Remember, we had two questions, though, about this part of Matthew 13. The first question is, why did Jesus stop teaching and switch to storytelling? Second question is, what's the meaning of this parable? And we notice that both of these questions have similar answers. The condition of someone's heart directly impacts how they hear from Jesus. And Jesus was very comfortable teaching people, even though he knew that they wouldn't understand him. He still taught. He didn't just say, I'm not going to talk to you. He just changed strategies and said, I know you're not going to hear this. I know you're not going to understand this. I'm okay with that. I'm still going to share because some people in this crowd might understand this. And there are disciples in this crowd who are going to come and ask me about it later, and they're going to understand this. And that's okay. Jesus is all right with those odds here. Now, we do not, again, know the condition of people's hearts on this earth, but we do know what our mission is on this earth, and that is to go out and make disciples and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded, to sow the word of God on this earth. And it's not up to us to do soil analyses before we spread the word of God. A lot of us are really into that and just deciding, okay, is this person really worth sharing the gospel with? I don't know. What kind of heart? You can't tell what people's hearts are. Because a lot of times it looks like this when it's actually this. That's just the way it works. And so you just share the word anyway. And here's an actual thing. Maybe we could take a page out of Jesus' playbook and tell stories. Stories are okay. In fact, they make it a lot easier to talk to people if you know a couple stories, right? It really does. What's your story? Why are you a believer? Why do you come to church? What type of life did Jesus save you from? What assurances of salvation has God placed in your life? What foundation on God have you experienced in the storms of life? You have answers to those questions. Some of them you may be like, you know, that's not a very good story. Some of them might be like, wow, that's actually a really cool story. Some of you, like, I'm one of those people who's been raised in church, and so, like, okay, I don't have like this giant repentance story that's a tearjerker and makes everyone cry, but I can look around the world and say, God saved me from a lot. There's so many things that could have happened that God has been continually and continuously saving me from and working through me throughout my whole life. I do have a couple good stories, but it's not time for my stories. It's time for you to start thinking about your stories and what stories you have about God's kingdom that you can share with others. And don't be upset if it works only some of the time. Keep sowing the seed of God's word. Like, that's the only job I can find for us in this parable. Unless you're someone who hasn't had the word come in your own life yet. And then the question is, what's the soil condition of your heart? What's going on inside of you that determines whether or not the soil's growing in your soil, the seed is growing in your life? Remember again, the two questions we had in the passage, why does Jesus switch to parables? Why or what does this mean? And you could also answer it with this one answer is, what soil is in your heart? There are mysteries about the kingdom of heaven that are hard to understand. And it's okay that Jesus switched into storytelling mode because the kingdom in this time, in this place, the kingdom is exerting its influence in this world, but the king is not yet saying, my way or the highway, I'm going to enforce everything that I say and do and will. The king is a little bit obscured on this earth, and that's according to God's plan. I don't know why he's waiting. Actually, why do you know why? It's because he wants to bring more people to repentance, because when he shows up, the play's over. That's what C.S. Lewis writes, is when the director gets on stage, the play's done, right? If the director has to come out on stage, there's no more time to act. That's the way it works here. And so as of right now, we can be bad actors. We can do poor things. The truth of his will can be rejected here. He will, in fact, though, and he will be rejected by those who have their hearts not prepared for it. That's the truth of the sower. And so the question should be, what kind of soil is my heart? So we've got questions like, what's your story? But then also, do I have a story? What is the soil condition of my heart? God may work in our lives, but he loves us so much that he's willing to work according to the invitations that we give him sometimes. And so do you let him in? Do you allow his message to grow in your heart? Do you reject his words? Do you reject the weeds that choke out his word? And even if he was to perform a miracle in your face, would you reject it and say, you know what, I'll believe if I see a miracle? That's what they said, even though they'd seen several miracles that same day. And so what about us? Of course, none of us would easily admit or even admit to ourselves that we'd miss Jesus' lessons if they were being told directly to us, that we'd miss Jesus' miracles if they're right there in front of our face. But since they did and they were the guys looking for the Messiah, we'd probably miss it occasionally too. Just being honest, we're human as well. So the truth of the matter is we should be asking, am I paying attention? What's the soil condition of my heart? Am I sharing the word? Am I sharing my stories? Do you believe in the stories? Because the great story is the one that's true. God created the world. We did bad. He created the world good. We have chosen not to be good. The penalty of choosing not to be good is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, because God decided to come closer to us, come down to this earth, live a perfect life, never ever succumb to temptation, die on the cross, paying for our sins, taking those sins to the grave, and then rising again, showing that he has been victorious over sin. And if we follow him, we can be victorious as well, and he shares the spoils of war with us, and that we can go to heaven as well. And if you believe that very tall tale, but it's a true tall tale, then you confess that he is Lord, you repent from living that not good life, you choose to be baptized, be immersed, be plunged under water, and die and be resurrected again as a new creation, and then you go out and live a life of faith, trying to help the soil of your heart cultivate that good seed, not the seed of the weeds, and you share that story with others. It's a story worth believing. It's a true story, and hopefully you follow it and believe it as well. Believe in that story and share it with others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that story, for the true tall tale of a God who loves us so much that he really would rather die than be without us. And so God, help us to accept that story ourselves. Help us to react to that story appropriately. May we not have hardened hearts. May we not have a soil that we don't let be fruitful and go down deep. May we have soil that we want to grow and produce a crop of fruit and just tell others about you. So God, may we share your story that has been worked in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.